I'm thankful for the opportunity for us to all meet together again here. There's been a lot of times where we missed some Sundays and had to do Zoom. There's nothing like being able to be together. I'm thankful we're able to be together today. Had a subject that the Lord's been dealing with me about for a little while. I'd like to share with you the subject of righteousness. If you were to put a definition, just a simple definition to righteousness, what would it be? And I would say, well, it's just right living. It's living right. That's righteousness. But then there would have to be another question that comes right on the heels of that. What determines what is right? Because I've got some verses that I'd like to start with that tells us we need to find out what determines right for righteousness. I'd like to go to Proverbs 21 and 2. This says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord ponders the heart. And then there is another verse in Proverbs 14 and 12. There is a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So it's not just enough to say, I believe it, this is right, but I need to be able to have something to guide me, because every way of a man is right in his own eyes. But there is another verse over in Isaiah 5, and I believe it describes the time that we're living in. Fifth chapter of Isaiah, 20th verse. Woe to them that call evil good and good evil. Put darkness for light and light for darkness. Put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. That verse sounds like a picture of the day we're living in today. And here's just a couple things that I thought that maybe describe it to me the best. We're living in a day that abortion is considered a good thing. And yet, if you trusted the Lord for your child and it dies, it's an evil thing. Call good evil and evil good. So if I'm looking for righteousness, it's not going to be enough for others to determine what it is. Or really, it's not even enough for me to determine what it is. We need to know what causes God to be able to stamp righteousness on a person's life. What about if we obeyed the Ten Commandments? Would he stamp his approval, it's righteous now? Later, I was thinking of the man that came running to Jesus, and he had obeyed the Ten Commandments. But there was still something else that he needed to be able to do. There's a verse that I'd like for us to go to, because I'm interested in righteousness for myself that will be accepted. I'd like to go to the 18th chapter of Luke. This has an interesting verse, 18 and 9 of Luke. He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Trusted in themselves that they were righteous. And it goes on down, it tells a story. Two men went up in the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all I possess. The publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased. He that humbleth himself shall be exalted. There's a verse that says, it's not he that commendeth himself that is approved, but it's whom the Lord commendeth. That's in 2 Corinthians 10 and 18. So as I thought about this, as I'm looking for righteousness, it's not enough for me to do as this man did as he was praying. Here's all the things that I'm doing good, so I must be righteous. And it started out, what was the verse that it started out with? He spake this parable to certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. You know how many times in the scripture Jesus was dealing with the Pharisees that were doing the right things and we don't need anything else. And he's working on this level of righteousness. There is a verse in Psalms 34 and 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. His ears are open to their cry. Well, this one that we just read was a man that felt that he was righteous in himself, gave a prayer to God, and even thanked God that he was not like these bad things, bad people. So, what can we do about our prayers that they don't end up falling in the category that this one did? Doesn't look like the Lord spent any time. It just says the Pharisee prayed thus with himself. It's almost like it got no higher than just how far his voice would go. The Lord didn't hear it. I was looking at a verse that says, I was thinking there's a secret to acceptable righteousness. And it's going to begin over in 1 Peter. 1 Peter 5 and 5 tells us what's going to be important. Humility is going to be very important for us to have righteousness that's acceptable to God. 5 and 5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves to the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. Be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, and he gives grace to the humble. Another verse was in James 1 and 17. It says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. I need to realize that, you know what? Every good thing comes from God. If it becomes a good quality in me, it's because he has allowed me to be able to have his grace to be able to live that way. So I was thinking for myself, maybe a better prayer. You know, it was okay, I think, for him to say, Lord, I thank you that I am not following the ways of sin that others are following. But maybe I would say, I want to thank you for the promise that where sin abounds, grace doth much more abound. You know where the glory goes then? It all goes back to the Lord. It's not about that I have learned how to do right things in myself. I want to thank you for allowing me to tap into your source of grace to help me live above this world. That becomes much different then. So I was looking at the real definition for righteousness. A purity of heart. A conformity of heart and life to the divine law. What makes righteousness acceptable or unacceptable to God? I would like to go to a place in Philippians. Because Paul had a testimony. In Philippians 3 and 5, he gives a testimony of what he had that he considered himself to be righteous with before he met Jesus. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. You know, that was supposed to be a good quality. If you want to talk about the law, talk about Pharisees, because they lived up to the law. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, that was before he met Christ that day. What things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. This ninth verse is so important for him and for us. It closed out the eighth verse, I want to win Christ. Ninth verse, I want to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. The law itself, if I obeyed just the Ten Commandments themselves, there was a time when that was acceptable before Christ came. And then a change was brought about. Paul said, not having my own righteousness. You know, his righteousness was causing him to go and persecute the church. He felt like that is right. I was reading this in the commentary. It says, there is no obstacle to salvation by grace that is as great as self-righteousness to the sinner. There is no obstacle to salvation that is greater than the self-righteousness, feeling I have done it right. You know, how could you have ever turned Paul around? He was following the law as he interpreted it and was going about to maintain it. But it causes me, you know, at that time, Paul didn't see himself as a sinner. It took God stopping him with the bright light. We heard about it in one of the messages there at Monarch, and caused him to be able to turn around. There is another place in Romans, the 10th chapter. Now Paul, he has a desire for the Jews that are following the same way that he was before. It says in Romans 10 and 1, brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record, they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. Fourth verse, and I think we might have heard this in the meeting, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. So I was thinking of this. There is more than just obedience to the law. It goes farther than that to be able to be considered righteous. And it is found in what Christ brought to us. There is a verse in Ephesians, the 2nd chapter and the 8th verse. We need to always remember this, because you remember the place where Sermon on the Mount, people are coming to Jesus, now we're standing at the judgment, and they say, Lord, Lord, have we not done many mighty works in your name? And he says, I don't know you. This is an important verse to us, for us to remember. It's Ephesians 2 and 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourself. It's a gift from God. Salvation, or anything that follows from that, is because it's a gift from God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. It is not about the works that I do. We have a song, number 105, has a verse in it. Says there's power in the blood, there's power in the blood of Jesus. It says, no righteousness of ours can ever avail, but it's through the Lamb of God that we shall prevail. There's power in the blood, all else will fail. What if I live my life reading the scripture and saying, okay, it says, do not kill, do not steal. A person, that was a problem with the Pharisees. They followed the law and had no need for Christ to be able to come. I don't want to come to the place that, you know what, I do right things. I have the power to do right things myself. You know what it needs? For it to be acceptable righteousness, it needs to come through Christ. It needs to be that I always have a realization, Lord, if you don't help me with this, it's not going to be acceptable. It's my own works. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. It's power in the blood of Christ. Remember in Hebrews 10, where it's telling us, it's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats would always be acceptable. But you know what? There was a time when that was acceptable. Before Christ gave his sacrifice, that was an acceptable sacrifice each year that could be given. But then Christ came and one time offered himself as a sacrifice forever. And I am so thankful for that. So I'd like to look over in Matthew 19 at this rich young man. In some places it talks to him being the rich young ruler. But over in Matthew, the 19th chapter, because he had a lot of good works that he had done in 19 and 16. Behold, one came and said to him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? He said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. If thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he saith unto him, which Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, not commit adultery, not steal, not bear false witness. Honor thy father and mother. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man said unto him, all these have I kept from my youth. What lack I yet? So I was looking at this one. He went away sorrowful. He was doing the law. He was justified by the law until he met Christ that had more to offer. And I've often wondered, we don't read anything else about another account of this man coming back and talking to Jesus again and saying, okay, I've had time to think about it. I'm willing to do that now. I wonder what his life continued to be like. When he walked away from Christ, did he say, I'm going to cast away all those commandments I've been living so carefully by. I'm not going to regard them anymore. I doubt it. I would kind of imagine that he said, you know what? Those works have been acceptable in the past. I'm going to just continue with them. Went away sorrowful, establishing our own righteousness and not yielding to the righteousness of God. I was thinking about what a job Jesus had when he came and began his ministry. Because before his ministry started, the Ten Commandments would be acceptable works that you would do. The offering of animals for sacrifice would be acceptable for your sins. And now Jesus has the job of moving that from there to something greater. And you remember, I'd like to look over here at Matthew 5 and 17, where he let them know, you know what, I didn't come to do away with the law. Think not that I, 5 and 17 of Matthew, think not I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I didn't come to destroy it, but to fulfill it. And then on down through this fifth chapter, he gives some examples of how it is now changing. The good works before would have been, you didn't kill, so that's acceptable. But he goes on down now and he says, there's coming a change in that. 5 and 21. You've heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. Whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. So I look at this now. Jesus came along to be more than just the works on the outside, but he came to deal with the heart. Before, you were acceptable if you didn't kill the person. Now Jesus is going to stop the problem while it's on the inside, before it comes to the outside. There is another one in 5 and 27. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. And you know what? People could sign off on that and say, I am living a righteous life. Jesus said, I say unto you, whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. So the changes that came about, and then he gave a warning here in this fifth chapter and in the 20th verse. Accept your righteousness, exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. You shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. And you know, Paul was describing it as a great benefit to be in the group of the Pharisees, because they learned the law, they studied the law, they followed the law. But Jesus, that was some of his greatest opponents, was people that said, I'm justified and I have no need of anything else. And here he's given a warning. If your righteousness does not come to a higher level than theirs, you won't enter into the kingdom. And it says, I was reading this in the commentary, their righteousness consisted in outward observances. They offered sacrifices, they fasted often, they prayed much. But it was to the neglect of a holiness in their heart. So you remember, they felt like they were righteous because they were doing the law. But you know, they were the ones that when Lazarus was healed, they wanted Jesus to die for it. They were the ones that I believe it was in the next chapter after Lazarus was healed, that they wanted to kill Lazarus. This is causing people to glorify God. This is causing Jesus to be magnified. We would like to put them to death. Now we're talking about righteousness. That's why Jesus was saying, if your righteousness does not go to a higher level than theirs, you won't make heaven your home. So I'm thinking about for us, in our day and time, what's righteousness for us, for me? I want to be able to follow Christ. I was thinking of a verse in Titus. Titus 3:3. For we ourselves were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts, pleasures, living in malice, envy, hateful, hating one another. But then a change came about to a person to get saved. And here's what caused the change. It really wasn't works that we had done, but after the kindness and love of our God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but here's where the secret is. It was according to His mercy that He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. So righteousness is what He's going to be looking for in my life when I stand before Him. But it's not going to be my own righteousness. I was thinking also the Sermon on the Mount. He said, blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness. The kind of righteousness that will be acceptable before God when I stand before Him one day. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst. Lord, I don't want my own righteousness, which is of the law. I don't want to, you know, you could take the Bible and have never repented of your sins and say, I'm going to make a change. I'm going to read it and I'm going to do the things that it says do. If it says don't kill, I will not kill. You know, some people can do that without Christ. The Pharisees tried it without Christ. You know, there was a transition period going on. There were people still offering sacrifices when Jesus began His ministry, and those sacrifices were acceptable. Jesus was moving them into a place, and what a job He had on His hands. You were righteous last year with obeying the Ten Commandments, young man. And now I want to tell you it's changing. Your righteousness won't be just in the doing of the law, but following Christ. Because it wasn't, I don't believe it was the end of it all if He would have sold everything He had and followed Christ. That would have been the beginning of a journey for Him in walking with the Lord and finding out what does it mean to really be righteous in His life. And for us today, that I don't go about, want to be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that that comes through Christ. And to do that, I think it's real important for me to spend some time looking at the value of the sacrifice that Jesus made. Without that sacrifice, I would not be able to be acceptable today. There's power in the blood. I believe it's song number 105. I'd like for us to sing that song. There's power in the blood, and I need to have it throughout my life. Remember, that's what I'm going to need to be able to have a righteousness that will be acceptable before God when I stand before Him. Because the scripture tells us there's going to be many in that day that thought they were ready and they were not. And it's going to happen in this right here. I was doing good things. I did many good deeds. But it didn't go through Christ. And one place that it goes through Christ is for me to humbly realize it's Him. It all comes through Him. There's nothing that I can do of myself. I want to have the righteousness of God that will be acceptable when I stand before Him. I desire your prayers. Maybe we can sing number 105.